Hi, you were listening to Shadow Dance from Shadow Facts from their album, The Best of Shadow Facts. Just a bit of peaceful music to sort of set the mood. Because what we're going to talk about tonight sometimes sort of disturbs our frame of mind and makes us cranky. And it's something that most of us can't do much about until now. Our guest tonight, Jennifer Loudon, is going to address this issue for us in just a few minutes. So stay tuned and we can learn how to fit everything into our life and still stay centered. Thank you for joining us. Thank you. Thank you for all the cards and emails you have been sending. That's wonderful. I love receiving mail. This is Sherry Edwards, your host for Sound Health on BBS Radio. And for the next hour, we're just going to share a bit of conversation. This whole show has been designed to provide options and information for self-help because I sometimes think that people who don't have options don't feel that they have any recourse and they have to stay where they are. So tonight's show is going to be particularly centered around that idea. We're going to be taking calls. This is an audience participation show. The number 877-876-5227. The Canadian line is down, but we do have a direct line for you, 530-876-3222. And for those of you who want to send in their questions, like a lot of you do on this show, because sometimes it's about very personal things and you just really don't want to hear your voice on the radio. So I can answer the questions for you. And also for those of you who are listening to BBS Radio over your phone line, the ability to send an email and have us answer or ask and answer the questions for you is a good idea. We will be monitoring. Well, I'm having trouble with that word. Sound Health at soundhealth.org and also radio at vocalprofiling.com. So either one of those you can use. We do have a few announcements. We've added some new vocal profiles to the Monday Night Show, Princess Diana and Rosie O'Donnell, when she was talking about President Bush on the show. And as I was looking at Rosie's print, you can tell that she does everything she does with her entire being, her authentic self. I like that idea. The idea behind sharing these profiles with you is to get to the real issues behind the words, to demonstrate that there's a way to bring out who you really are through your own voice. So we think this is a way of helping you get rid of all the overlays of what you might think somebody else wants from you. And we just allow the computer to use your voice and crunch the numbers and separate truth from fact from fiction and just go on to the real you. This leads me to the new article that's been posted on Question the Experts on BBS, and you go to the front homepage and look on the left, and it says Question the Experts, and you can go down to our show, Sound Health. It's about 10 from the bottom, and it's about do we create our own reality? It asks the questions about how we find out who we really are and how to trust that will and wisdom of what we want in our own life. I've been asked to announce that Tim Boland and Ralph Fusitola and others are going to be doing some special shows on BBS about our health rights and freedoms that are being eroded. I'm not sure when those are going to air, but there's going to be several of them to try to provide you options as to what you can do and how you can help. What else announced? Oh, I had a conversation with Don today. He shared that 4 million people logged into BBS Radio so far this month. That is awesome. So let's thank Don and Doug and Michelle and the gang there for keeping the lines open and allowing the uncensored news to get out there. Okay, that's the end of our announcement. So Jennifer Loudon is our special guest today. She's the author of several books about women and how women can develop their own recipes for emotional, physical, spiritual, and work-life balance. Today she's with us to talk about her latest book. I think we're going to let her talk about what she wants, The Life Organizer. Jennifer Loudon, welcome to the show.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You sound very up and get going, but you do a lot of things. You are this great example of being organized. You couldn't have do all the stuff that you do without being organized. The column and write books, and you do retreats, and you have a family. Your books have been translated into several languages. You're a keynote speaker on the lecture circuit. You run a blog, which the name I love, Loudon Mouth. That's very creative. You act as a coach for women. You probably do lots of other things I don't know about. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, I think I want to talk about how is it that we can do what we most care about without being overwhelmed. I led a retreat, not this weekend, but the weekend before last in Sedona, and one of the younger women who was in attendance asked me, you know, basically, what is balance, and how do I know when I'm balanced, which I thought was just such a fabulous question. So I think that's a great place to start.
Well, I noticed in one of your articles that you have, like, four steps to being balanced. Do you want to talk about those?
Well, are we talking about the life organizing process, or I just want to make sure out of all those things I wrote, I'm talking about the right thing?
Well, get to balance. You give four things. It says to create balance, you have to know what balance looks like and feels like for you. I often begin retreats and corporate workshops with this exercise.
Yeah, which is the idea, which, again, some of the things in this new book, The Life Organizer, to me are so simple, but they're things that I never did, which is to really think about what does balance mean for you. One of the things I said to this woman in the retreat last weekend was, to me, balance has become similar to what the girdle was to my mother's generation. I'm 44, my mom is 72. And a girdle was a way that you shaped yourself into the shape of a good woman, a certain look, you didn't jiggle, you know, this and that. And I wonder if balance has become, you know, no dangerous jiggles could drive the men wild. And I wonder if balance has become the same thing for our generation, or for every woman who's alive right now, in that it's like, well, if I could just find the right formula, then I would finally be enough. And I think that's just another way to kill ourselves with perfection, to distract ourselves from what's most important, and to keep ourselves from ever being truly present to this perfect moment.
Why do you think we need a book like The Life Organizer? I mean, how did we get so unorganized?
Well, I think, again, it might be from looking... I think we need a book like The Life Organizer. Bottom line is we have not learned in general to choose, and we haven't been taught in general to choose. My mother did not have the wide range of choices that I have, not just politically, not just from a point of view, you know, my father never wanted her to work, but also from a point of view if the internet didn't exist. You know, we had five channels, you know, if we had reception on the television. You know, we are so inundated with choice. And one of the key ideas behind this book is teaching you that to choose is not always easy, it's not always comfortable, and you have to learn to do it, or you live your life in this slightly anxious, diffused place of, you know, you walk by the dirty closet, oh, I should be cleaning the closet, but then you know, you walk downstairs, oh, I should be paying the bills, oh, and then you know, and on it goes, and you're never really able to sink yourself into, again, the moment and what you need to be doing, and that's very exhausting and very overwhelming.
I think with women, it used to be everything was instead of. I have to do this instead of that because that's a higher priority. And there's a such thing now that we're piling everything on. We want to do everything in addition to everything else. And there's just so much that it doesn't get done.
And one of the things that...
Go ahead.
Excuse me for interrupting you. Yeah, one of the things that I completely, completely, deeply agree with you, and one of the ideas that I talk about both in The Life Organizer and, you know, retreats, you know, whenever I'm working with women, is choosing isn't necessarily mean that you're not going to grieve the choices that you can't do right then. And unless you're willing to choose and let yourself grieve that, no, you can't paint the masterpiece and write the perfect poem and raise the kids and make $1 million, then you're going to hang out with in a place of frustration and, you know, exactly what you said, you know, and I just lost that thought, so just let it go. There's that middle-aged brain going for a minute.
So we're all laid back here. This is a very, very beautiful hardback book. Can you explain to people a bit about how it's organized and why you wanted to write it?
Well, it was about 8 years in the making, and quite frankly, I didn't want to write it. When I finished, this is my sixth book, and when I finished my fifth, which is called Comfort Secrets for Busy Women. And originally in hardcover, that was The Comfort Queen's Guide to Life. I said, you know, I'm done. I have written 5 self-help books. Lord, the world does not need another self-help book. I said what I need to say, and I went on to go back to school and spend a year programming ontological coaching, and I started working on a novel, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But this idea, which I'd started as an engagement calendar that we'd published in different formats for a few years, just wouldn't go away. And women kept using it and wanting it, and I kept using it. And I realized that it really could be the fulcrum for me to almost write a manifesto for the most basic pieces that I think women need to have in their life to stay in touch with their hearts or their souls. The most basic pieces they need to really create a life they love. And that also led to the format of the book, which was extremely challenging to come up with. Took quite a lot of going back and forth with myself and some input from my great editor as well. And it's basically set up like a book you can dip into anywhere with stories and suggestions. And then the main heart of the book is 52 weeks, but they are not dated. They're not dated, of questions that refer you to yourself for the answers and touch on these basic concepts in a way that allow you to really create this roadmap of what's most important to you and what's getting in your way and start taking gentle, gentle, small steps towards making it work.
You write in your literature or some of your books and articles that I've read that you want to help women develop their own recipe for emotional, physical, spiritual, and work-life balance. Most people are going to say that's not possible. How do you start doing this with these women?
What I start to do is help women to put the struggle down to be any different than they are right now in this moment. Nothing that we love, nothing that we desire can blossom until we can accept what is. And when we're constantly either judging ourselves or beating ourselves up or living in the when then, you know, when I lose the weight or when I get the promotion or when the kids are a certain age, then I will, we can't ever really feel and experience where we are. And therefore, we can't really take effective action. So that's always, always where I start. How can you cultivate the most extraordinary mood of self-kindness and just breathing into exactly what is in this moment? And that's where all those ideas of balance really start. And they end in the same place, which is the great paradox.
Well, one of the things you say in your book is this all can be heartbreaking about where to spend your time. What do you mean by that?
Well, for example, today is a perfect moment for me to apply that. So I have a day today. I live in the Pacific Northwest where the weather was so crystal and beautiful. And we've had a really bad winter. So do I garden? Do I go upstairs to my studio and paint something? Do I catch up on some work? Do I walk the dog in the woods? Do I play a game with my daughter? Do I read this great book that I'm reading? Oh, maybe I should read this book about business, or I'm trying to learn to have better communication with my employees. Oh, no, I'm going to let's go to the garden store. Those choices are all, in the moment, equally dear to me. And until I can sit and really let myself be with the pleasure and the heartbreak of wanting to do all of these things, I can't choose where my desire most lies in that moment, or lies long enough for me to do 15 minutes of one and see how that feels. I'll just stay in that head-spinning place of, oh, I should be doing this, oh, I could be doing that, and then the day is gone, and I'm just in an angry, twitchy mood by Sunday night.
So I'm going to put down painter with what you do also, because you mentioned that.
No, I just started creating art almost 2 years ago. And, it's terrible what I'm making in terms of looking at it, but I sure am enjoying it.
This is maybe a strange question, but it comes from our audience. How do women get in the situation of being so disorganized in the first place?
Oh, I think it comes from it could come from a lot of different places, but I would imagine, and let me see how this sounds as I say it, that the root probably lies in not being in touch with, in dialogue with your heart. And I'm going to call it your heart because literally in your body it is the seat of your heart brain, or the 40,000 plus neurons that are so powerful over the influence of your mood, your body chemistry, your brain chemistry, and the poets and the religious and wisdom texts have all told us that the heart knows best. So I think a lot of times the clutter, the disorganization, the too many yeses to too many things come from not being in that heart, not being able to rest in that heart, not knowing how. Which is something that I really, really am proud of in the Life Organizer, that I really laid it out in a simple way. This is how you get in touch with your heart. I never knew how to do it. So how do you do it so you can start to peel those layers away that just don't matter to you? It may still look disorganized to someone else, but if it fits you and it works for you, great.
So this is very different from other kinds of organization books that try to organize your time. You're trying to organize the person from the inside out.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know about you, but I love to read those organizational books, or I love to go buy a new calendar or some cool life planning system, in November of the new year's coming, and I never stick with them. And this is the only system, and that's the wrong word, process, the only process that I've ever stuck with, because it's totally about listening to my own heart and then making that work for my life. It's not about fitting myself into a little box in somebody else's system.
We've got 4 or 5 questions that have come in. A couple of them are kind of heartbreaking. I don't know where to start. I'll start with maybe one you can't answer because it's really not about what your book is.
Okay.
It's from Marge. I'm required to juggle several projects at a time. I don't have room to keep them all out in front of me. When I move from one job to the next, I must put everything away, and then I lose track of where I am. It's a real time waster. It's driving me up the wall. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, I do actually have a suggestion. Of course, from a real practical point of view, and again, this is not what my book's about, but I wonder about having a separate box, maybe plastic that you could see through for each project. And then before you open that box, taking a moment to connect with this process that we're talking about, which would be maybe just feeling your hand on top of the box, feeling the plastic or wood or whatever the box is made out of for a moment. And then taking a moment to remember a time when you felt very focused and calm. And it could be a memory, it could be a scene from a movie, it could just be a feeling in your body. Hang out there for 10 or 20 seconds. Breathe. Let it grow bigger in your heart. This is actually balancing your body chemistry, your brain chemistry. And then ask yourself, what's the best place to start with this project right now? Because, Marge, part of your frustration is coming from trying to duplicate or replicate where you were. And instead, why not flow with the moment as it's presenting itself right now and see where your interest lies to jump in? And then that, over time, is going to help you organize that box as you put things away each time. So let something come to you, jump right in and do it, whether it's very small and kind of weird, trust what comes to you and see if that changes things for you. And then write me at jennifer@comfortqueen.com and tell me how it worked.
I have a suggestion, too, that sometimes works for me because that's my situation, is I write myself a little note. When I pick this up again, this is what I was thinking about. This is where I want to start. And that kind of just leads me right in.
That's a brilliant idea. I teach a couple writing retreats every year, and I always talk about Hemingway. He left his sentences unfinished for the next writing day so he would know where to start. And lots of creative people, artists, have something like that where they make a note, you know, this is what I was thinking about or what I was excited about or the color I was going to add. So you do have a place. It makes startup time much quicker.
And there are some times for me when I'll be so into a project and, you know, the sun comes up and it's like, where'd the time go? But I look at it and I have, you know, I just get so energized. That's how I know when I'm in the mood to do that thing. I get so excited and energized and focused. And if I can't focus, I go do something else.
Excellent.
I just don't do a good job. This next one's kind of a short question, and I really don't know how to handle it, and it says, please don't use my name. My husband says I'm too fat, and he doesn't love me anymore. I'm the same person he married. What's wrong with this picture? I'm so unhappy.
Oh, my heart goes out for you. My entire heart is with yours, and I know, I can imagine from my own struggles with weight and feeling beautiful that a little bit of how you feel. And, you know, obviously it's way too big of a question to answer in a pat way, and I do not want to do that. But I would invite you, if it's possible for you, to start using this process of just at the end of every day, write down the moment in which you felt most alive and connected and excited, and just one moment, and one moment in which you felt least connected and alive. And after a few weeks or a month, if you can bear it, of doing this every night, you might begin to get a simple map of where to put more of your energy that might help you to begin really naturally to contact some of that life and vigor that might have gone into what I call shadow comforts, doing something like eating or watching TV or things that might make you more lethargic and kind of cover up that natural beauty that, you're right, is still there that maybe he's having a hard time seeing.
Well, she's awesome. You can just feel the tears when you read this.
Yeah.
At least I can, and it's bothering me to feel the pain. She's allowing somebody else to label her and allowing them to make her feel bad. Look at Oprah. I mean, she was wonderfully happy and heavy. Queen Latifah, all of these very vibrant people. And
vibrant's the key word there. When we can use the process of inquiry and being present in the moment, which are the underlying ideas of my work, then you can begin to find that vibrancy. And what happens is you begin to align your life more and more with it. It doesn't matter so much.
Hello?
Yes, about vibrancy, and our message, our email from the woman who's feeling unattractive and unloved by her husband because she thinks she's fat. And you had said so beautifully, you know, Queen Latifah and Oprah, and, you know, how it's not about what we weigh, but it's about how we feel. And that finding what you love, finding what turns you on, and it can be really small. It might be quilting. It might be a certain color of blue. You can start there. It doesn't have to be a big life mission. Forget that. That's overwhelming. and let that begin to lead you forward step by step into a sense of greater well-being. It really is possible.
Well, this might be the time to bring in these four steps to balance that you talk to people about, and maybe she could use these. You want to talk about them, or do you want me to read them?
No, please, you talk about them. I'd love to hear other people talk about my ideas. It's so exciting.
One, it says, take a piece of paper and pen, set a timer for 10 minutes, begin writing endings to the statement, I feel balanced when. Keep the hand moving for 10 minutes, no rushing, no stopping, no editing. And maybe, can they do past with this too? I felt good when, and then work up to I feel good when.
That's a great idea, and it might even be, you might even use the word vibrancy or beauty or I feel alive when. And one of the tricks is to really use that timer and keep your hand moving. And this is exactly what I do when I lead workshops and retreats, is because it gets us past the critic and also the part of our mind that thinks it knows everything. And we start to get really bored and we start to write things like, I have no idea, I have no idea, I have no idea. And then a really great idea will come through.
It is so hard when you are in a relationship and you love someone, you realize they don't love you, or at least they're trying to put you down. If this was a constructive kind of thing with the husband, I would think it would be different. This just says, you're too fat, I don't love you anymore. Mm-hmm. I would question why he's still there.
Mm-hmm. That's another really great way to look at it, absolutely. And how can you become the author, the creator of your life again?
Mm-hmm.
And that's by starting to say, well, this is how I'm feeling right now. It's awful. And really letting yourself be there with it. And then, and only then, beginning to say, well, what is it that I really want instead? What I want. And that can't include how, oh, I want him to love me again. Because you don't have the power to influence anybody else, and neither do I. We only have the power to create our own choices.
And I would ask him that. Why are you still here? Is it just because I do your laundry or something? Now, I've always thought that the person who cares the least has the most power in the relationship. And some people just treat people bad to keep them under their thumb and sort of powerless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Number two on your list, then write 10 minutes on the statement. What gets me out of balance is, and hers is going to be, when he tells me I'm fat, I feel devastated or whatever.
And there might also be other things that are leading to feeling out of balance for her, which might include, you know, something other people saying mean things to her, or perhaps she has a, you know, boss that is not supportive or a job that she doesn't like. When we tend to lose a sense of being the creator of our own lives, it's often in many areas, and we begin to feel and live in a state of being a victim instead of a creator.
Now, if I was living with this man, I would feel very out of balance when I was doing something for him. Because I'd be in a relationship with someone who really didn't, he said to my face, they don't care about me. Yet here I am still nurturing them. And I think that would make me feel out of balance.
Yeah, well said. That's very insightful.
Well, thank you. Number three, draw a large circle in the middle of a piece, 11 by 14 paper. Make sure to leave a wide margin around it. Inside the circle, list things that bring you well-being. In the area outside the circle, name what distracts you. List your less than optimal habits and note any energy draining people in your life. Wow. I love that.
Yeah, it's a great visual, especially for those of us who are visual, because then you can put that up somewhere where you can see it, and it begins to gently remind you and kind of pose the question, well, this is inside your circle. How much of that are you getting? Who are you spending mm-hmm. time with? The people inside your circle or people outside your circle?
And what kind of return, emotional return? You know, if she's constantly working with this guy and just constantly getting beat up, I just want to suggest he's just trying to keep her controlled. Because mm-hmm. the more she feels bad, probably the more she does for him. And, ooh, I'm jumping right into her life here.
Yeah, one possible life.
Some of the questions that have come in, I've been trying to read at the same time. I think some of these are going to give her some insight. But let me read the fourth one here. Using your new insight, complete the following sentence 20 times. What I now see about my style of balance is.
And what I see about my style of balance, not my sister's or my mother's or, you know, Oprah's, but my style of balance.
Well, sometimes I let people borrow my stuff, my list. But I have this list I do. You know, one is seek rejection for a day because all the things I think I'll be rejected for. Since it's an assignment, if I go do it, I win anyway. And a lot of the times I'm not going to be rejected for what I thought I was.
So oh, that's great. What a great way to desensitize yourself and get out and get rid of the story of what might happen if you do get rejected. That's great.
Most of the time when people dump stuff on you, it's their stuff. And they're mm-hmm. really saying, help me figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a seminar in Sedona not long ago. And there was this little guy that came up to the stage. And he was kind of short and he had bald on top and long stringy hair. And he came right up to the stage and he said, you're too ugly to be on the stage.
Oh.
Yeah. I was talking about your truth and sharing your truth and seeking things you thought you would be rejected for. And I thought, you little troll. But I thought...
Who's too ugly?
But I thought, he's come to me, he's honoring me with something he thinks he's going to be rejected for. And I handed it right back to him. I said, well, what do you think I could do about it? He said, nothing. You look like my mother, and I hate her, too.
Oh.
Now, whose issue was it?
Yeah.
And a lot of the times when people come to you, that's what they're saying. They're honoring you with, help me figure this out, and please don't get mad at me because this is what I'm really doing. And too many times we get mad at that person who says something like that to us.
Yeah, it's very hard. Until we reach a certain level of psychic development and emotional development to be able to stay in ourselves and gently hand people's projections back. And first we have to start claiming our own projections back, the things that we're putting on people, and stop blaming them or being a victim and start seeing what is our responsibility. Oh, yeah, my responsibility is actually thinking that they can control how I think or feel.
Yes. If he'd come up to me and said, I really don't like the way you look because you have no arms, you know, I wouldn't have taken him seriously. He had to have some kind of hit on it for me to think that. We have a couple more questions here. Here is a really good one. Do you think my feeling bad about myself has anything to do with about my allergies? Sometimes when I eat wheat or sugar, all I want to do is sleep. I can't get up. I can't move around. I can't get anything done, and then I hate myself.
That's so interesting. I also have dealt with allergies my whole life for a couple different reasons. One, a hormonal condition I have, and a couple other reasons. And when they strike, I can feel the exact same way. So I don't know if that's true for you, but it would be very interesting. One of the things that I'm very big on, and it's a section in the book in the Life Organizer towards the back, is keeping a log of something simple like that you want to track, because it helps give you facts. And one of the ways that we create the life we love, I've been saying this over and over again, is by knowing what is, accepting that, being with that, and we must have that step and that piece in place to actually create what we want. And many of us are very good at visioning what we want, but we're terrible at paying attention to what is, or we get mired in what is. We believe it's always the way it's going to be, and we have no vision. And you need both. So what I would suggest is to keep a log of noticing this is how, you know, it could be something like, this is the date, I feel this way today, I ate these things, and giving a little scientific experiment to it. Noticing what it is that you eat, how it makes you feel. And I make another suggestion, which is, every time you beat yourself up, every time you have the thought that things should be different than they are, which is right now sounds like you feel lethargic and tired, You add to your exhaustion. You add to the struggle. The struggle is optional. The struggle is always optional. You can just put it down like you would a burden of too much, you know, newspapers and clutter that you're cleaning out. You can put it down at the curb for it to be recycled and let it go. This is how I feel right now. This is what I ate. It is what it is. And I promise you at least that will give you some relief right now.
We have an email that says, Sherry, can you turn up your volume? Jennifer's coming in loud and clear. You mentioned something about not really realizing where the time goes when something has energized you. That's because you are doing something that's life-giving. If it wasn't so, you would get sleepy and go into recharge mode. Instead, you are doing is recharging your life batteries. Wow, that's neat.
Great.
This is a neat comment. I want to go back to the thought we were just doing. Sometimes when I'm working with people, and we do vocal profiling that helps people get kind of unstuck,
mm-hmm.
and I ask them what they're willing to do to be happy or to move forward, and they say anything, and I say to them, if I gave you a dollar and you spent it, would you still have it? No, it would be gone. Well, let's think about this in terms of your past, because we had one lady that couldn't get past some things her mother did to her and whatever. I said, are you willing to spend your past to get over this, through it? And she never thought about that in that way of just keeping that past stuff that she really can't do anything about and going on from there.
One of the exercises that I do in retreats and workshops that I learned from somatic coaching is to have people... We'll be in the midst of doing some different physical balancing, experiencing balance in our bodies in different ways. And I'll ask people to think about their history and all that they've experienced in their life, so-called successes and so-called mistakes, tragedies and, triumphs, and to imagine it unfurling behind them like a stabilizing dinosaur tail. And that as they notice that they can actually lean back against that tail, and as they do, their heart tends to open, and they tend to look up and out a little bit to feel more stable. And that happens when we can accept our past as it is what it is. It's part of me. And the integrity of who I am is based on accepting all that I am.
Because everything's required. It's what you do about it that makes the difference.
Exactly, and it's happened, and we can, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, as my dad used to say. It's a big waste of time.
Here's just another comment from a caller. I thought my life was over when I got a divorce, but I've learned that my husband is a better friend now than when we were married. I learned that divorce is not an end, only death is. That's
beautiful.
That's kind of neat.
It is, and so often one of the stories that we talk about, and this is a section in the Life Organizer book, all the different assessments or interpretations we make. The fact is, you lived with this man, you decided not to live with him anymore, you went through a legal process to dissolve the union. Those are the facts, you know. But everything else we tell ourselves is an interpretation, which is fine. That's the way our brains work. They make interpretations or stories up literally all the time. But we can begin to step back from those and look at them and say, well, is that true? Is it generative? Does it help me create a life that I love? And distancing ourselves from our stories, getting a little spaciousness around them, is truly one of the most powerful things we can do for our well-being.
Another question from a listener, that's entitled Mood and Food. I'm bipolar, and when I get down, nothing gets done. Then I'm up. I'm trying to catch up with what didn't get done when I was down. I can't seem to get caught up. The medication doesn't help. I can't feel good about myself. Help, help, help. Whoa, that's a big one.
That's a big one. What I'm really glad is to hear you're taking your medication, because I know from what I know about being bipolar, is one of the things we can do when we're up, 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 is not take our medication. So good for you for taking it. And I guess one of the first things that comes to my mind is, what other support could you get to help you maybe stay a little bit more on target with or get caught up, who could help you get caught up. Then another thought that comes to my mind in relationship to the stories we were just talking about is who determines what is caught up? What you determine what is caught up. So can you decide, again, using some of the life organizing ideas in the book, can you decide what's possible for you on any given day? In other words, you decide what's going to satisfy you. You turn your mind towards contentment on those days. Decide that's your intention. Not this outside, I have to get this done, I have to get this caught up. So that's another possibility as a way to put the struggle down and stop beating yourself up around what is possible. Think about how you would help or counsel a best friend who was in the place that you are and see if you can apply some of those ideas for yourself.
Oh, okay. That's not signed, and the email doesn't give me an indication who sent it in. Here's a one I'd like to know the answer to. I think I saw Oprah. Oprah, you are a beautiful and authentic person. What's it like being on her show?
Oh, well, it was actually one of the lowest points of my life. And this isn't a story that I tell very often, but thank you for the question, and I'd like to tell it this way, which is I had wanted very much to be on Oprah. This happened for my fourth book, which was the Woman's Retreat book, a book about how to create your own retreats, whether in a few minutes or a few days. And I was very proud of that book and very excited when they called and said that I was going to be on. And I didn't really listen to my intuition, which said I was going to be on as an expert for a question that was pretty stupid, really. It was giving advice to women who were afraid to go out and eat alone in a restaurant. At this point in my life, I had a young child, and I totally could not relate. Like, you have a problem sitting down and finishing a meal? You mean no one's going to interrupt you? You can swallow and chew your food? So I probably should have listened to that intuition that told me that I wasn't going to be the best person for this topic and held out for something that was more true to me. So that was really disappointing to me, that I kind of went for the, oh, it's Oprah, I've got to do it, it's going to change my life. And I thought it would change my life, and it didn't, which is the ultimate spiritual lesson and such a fabulous gift. But it took me a couple of years before I really, really digested it, which is there is no end point. There is no omega. And my whole life I have lived with what I would call the lottery syndrome. You know, when I achieve a certain level of success as a writer, then I'll finally be something. I don't even know what I wanted to be. And when I realized that point was never going to come, I was devastated. And then I was set free to really be able to be here right now, enjoying this conversation with every inch of my being.
Were you on Oprah more than once?
No, just once, just that one time. They never have had me back, although they said that they'd love, of course this happened again, they called when this book was released, The Life Organizer, and said they'd love it, and it's on the shelf, and they want to have me on, and I got that same sort of, you know, thoughts going on in my head, oh my God, it'll be great, you know, we'll sell a lot of books, and then I, you know, had to let that go, and I'm really proud to honestly say that I was able to let it go within a matter of a few minutes. And I think that is such a testimony to my working with the principles in the book and with my own spiritual practice of accepting what is in this moment. I'm really proud of myself. And I love her work. I think it's great what she's doing in the world. It's nothing to do with Oprah, of course. It has to do with my own ego-drivenness, which takes us out of the moment. It takes us out of this precious life.
I have another sort of sad thing here. We got probably 20 emails here, and two of them are really long that I'd like to get to. My husband recently, and this is a reader, it's not mine, although I feel for this lady, my husband recently told me that he is in love with another woman. She must have been listening to the show because there's words we use here. Not instead of me, but in addition to me. I can't get my head around this. He says if I really love him, I would want him to be happy. He can't see how unhappy he's making me. I'm so depressed. I can't find any way to make this right. How can I find comfort in this situation? I love him, but this is tearing me apart.
I understand. My God, I would feel exactly the same. I could never imagine my husband sharing my husband with another man. A couple things come to my mind right away, which is it is imperative that you get support and someone to talk and listen to you about this that can help you sort this through. There isn't a right answer. And when anyone says, including your husband, if you loved me, you would do this, it's a red flag. You get to choose how you love. You get to decide what your life's going to look like. The truth is right now this is tearing you apart, whatever that means, however that feels in your emotional body and in your physical body. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's no judgment on it. It shouldn't be another way because he wants you to be able to accept that. So I really want to give you permission, as strange and crazy as it sounds, to let yourself be miserable, and don't beat yourself up for being miserable about this. This is rocking your world, your value system, and your way of wanting to be in a marriage. And that's 110% okay. There may not be any comfort in this except moment by moment to ask yourself, how can I support myself and be gentle with myself right now? How can I support myself and be gentle with myself right now? You're going to have to take yourself by the hand and be the best friend like you would someone who has a terrible disease. If your best friend was going through chemo or something really horrific, you think of all the beautiful, kind things you would do for her. Ask people to do that for you that love you and get some support to help you figure out how you're going to deal with this transition and what for you and for most women listening is a terrible betrayal. And I wish you the very, very best.
There is a book, Learning to Leave. I can't remember who wrote it, but it's a wonderful book. And there are several like it on Amazon because we looked it up very recently for someone in the office that just couldn't make that decision. But in our community, there's Caroline, there's women's groups. And I think a different perspective, that his perspective is a little off from what most of us would want our life to be. You know, maybe.
And it's fine. He can have his perspective, but it's a red flag that he tells you how you're supposed to feel or relate to this. And that's what I really want you to throw out the window right now. It is what it is. This is how you feel. And then how can you be gentle with yourself and how can you get support? And really taking it like you would a newborn baby or a newborn colt that is completely without defenses right now. Your life has been ripped open and you have to treat yourself with kid gloves. And I know you can do that. I know you could do it for someone else, so I know you can do it for yourself.
Very good. Let's answer a philosophical question. Do you think it is better to fight for what you want or just allow and see what comes to you? If it is not what I really think I want, should I change my opinion about what I want?
That's a hard one. That really is a deeply philosophical question because it really is the question of do I have free will or not? So if we're all one, which more and more science and so many of the wisdom traditions tell us we are all one, and if we are the one, if we are spirit, God, you know, the unmanifest, whatever little word we can put on this gigantic idea, then the idea is that God's going to do what God does, and we're just these little sort of containers for that energy. However, I feel that living that way tends to make us very fatalistic. So I choose to feel that I can drop into a place of being very receptive and asking, again, this is the life organizing process, you know, what is my next step here? What feels right for me to do about this choice in this moment? And that might require change, but if what's true for you in the moment is what you want to act on. So you might have to give up your preconceptions about change, is it good, is it bad, willpower, all of that, and just touch in with what's true about this desire of yours right now. What's the step that you want to take right now? Because that's all we ever have.
Jennifer,
as much
we
as our
are
minds
out of
want
time.
To... Oh, no, we're having such a good time.
We need to tell people how to get in touch with you.
Oh, well, there's lots of ways. One of them, to learn more about the book, is thelifeorganizer.com, and we have a free MP3 about the five-step process, and you can download all 52 weeks, they're not dated, of questions from the book. You can order the book. I signed them all. You could also go to comfortqueen.com. We have a huge website, and to learn more about my retreats and workshops is Jennifer Louden, Louden.com.
We need to have you back. We've got probably 30 more questions that have come in here.
Well, great. Well, send them along. You can send them to Jennifer@comfortqueen.com, and I'll try to answer them or do something with them. It might take me a while, but I so enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much.
We are going to do it again.
We
always end with a thoughtful pause, and the one I've chosen for today is finding out and living who you really want to be becomes a labor of loving yourself. This is Sherry Edwards and Jennifer Louden. Thank you for joining us on BBS Radio.